We left off last week with a little bit of a dilemma for a woman who's having difficulty doing a hefsek tahara. The Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Nida that a woman cannot assume that the bleeding has stopped until she checks herself. So the Rishonim extrapolated to Chazavah for the Zanazet that before a woman can begin to count Shirin Akiyim, so she has to check herself, she has to do bedika to make sure that that the dam has stopped. That's what the Mishnah calls a Prashna Tahara. We today have to change the term a little bit, but the same idea we call a Hefsek Tahara. So the Chabad Das raised a problem last week, but if you have a woman who is bleeding, but we know she's not bleeding from a period anymore, we know she has some kind of a maka there. So usually when you have a maka, and it's been documented medically, we know there's some kind of a wound there, so we generally ignore that kind of dam. The Gemara speaks about dam maka is basically tahor. Chabad Das says, it's true that dam maka is tahor, but at the end of the day, she hasn't proven certainty that the bleeding has stopped. So she's in a little bit of a quandary. How in the world is she going to get to first base? How is she going to even start the count of the Kiyam? Calls on that she has a map there. So that's the challenge that the Chabad Das gave us. So one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Zichron Yosef, came up with this idea. We mentioned at the very end of the last week. The Zichron Yosef says that maybe we could create the equivalent of Hefsek Tahara without even using Bedika clause. The whole idea of Hefsek Tahara is just to prove that the dam stops. But we have multiple ways of proving that. One way is through Bedika clause, and the other way is through simple calculation. It's already 9 days since her period started. She has never, for the last 20 years, had a period longer than 7 days. So it's already 9 days. So obviously, the dam is stopped. I see she's bleeding. We know the dam. We know she has a wound there. So we just have to prove that the period blood has stopped. So what's lacking in terms of Bedika can be made up in terms of simple calculation of time. That was the Zichron Yosef's big, big break, a tremendous chiddush in Hilchos Hefsek Tahara, to potentially let a woman begin to count Shemini Kriyam without doing any formal Bedika, as long as Mechashi Bimei, that's all. So where in the world did that come from? Where did the Zichron Yosef even come from this idea that you can make a calculation based on your past history and that's going to constitute a Hefsek Tahara? So we dug up a Gemara tucked away at the beginning of Maseches Nida. The Gemara talks about the following scenario. The Gemara talks about a guy who goes on a trip and goes away for weeks on end. And now he comes back in the middle of the night. So he's trying to figure out, is his wife Muteras or she Asura? Now, he's such a nice guy. He doesn't want to wake her up and ask her. He wants to come and give her a kiss. Whatever. He wants to potentially come into contact with her without literally being Mavar 100% that she's Tahora. So he wants the whole Shaila. Can he do that or not? So what's the story? So the Gemara makes the Cheshbon and says, well, let him try to figure out. He left 3 weeks ago, and he knows when he left. She just started getting a period. So he knows that a week has passed, and another week has passed, and she's already counted. So, mechashiv yimei riyosa, mechashiv yimei tarasa, and potentially he can make contact with her. That's what the Gemara has such a possibility. So the Gemara says, wait, back off for a second, the Gemara says. Even though he may be right in terms of his calculation that she's reached the point where she can be Tahora, how in the world does he know she went to the mikvah? Was Emel Otobla? He says, yeah, talk right. Emel Otobla, better wake her up and ask her whether she went to the mikvah. So comes in the Chanyosh and says, before the Gemara realized that there's a small technical problem that she hasn't gone to the, may have not gone to the mikvah yet, why did the Gemara ask immediately and say, what do you mean? Emel Otobla? How do you know that he even got to the point of discussing going to the mikvah? She had no idea when he's coming back. He wasn't texting her that he's going to be home in 3 days from now. She has no idea when he's coming back. So, Emeloi Frisha B'Tahara. So, says the Zichron Yosef, you see from here, you don't need a Frisha B'Tahara. If you can Emeloi, you may read also. If you can Mechash, you may read also. If you can figure out how many days she could have potentially finished that period, he knows that already 17 days have passed since he left. He knows that he left was the first day of the period. He knows she never gets through as long as 8 days, so he can make the calculation. He's a real lumber. He's a businessman coming back in the middle of the night on his trip, and he's a nice guy, doesn't want to wake her up, but he's making a whole triple time with this guy. He's calculating the days. Well, even though there was no Hefsek Tahara, it's okay, since there's a Hefsek Tahara on the Akev, as long as you can be Mechashiv maybe also. That was his Raya. So the Kedega quotes the Zichron Yosef, and he disagrees. He says that idea may be true at one stage in the Gemara, according to one opinion of the Gemara. Arguably, the Kedega That idea that you're mechashiv baby yosa, what that basically means is that, I think there's some kind of a phrase like past performance is no indication of future results, something like that. So Rav Kivega says that principle is a machlokes of the Gemara. He says the Hilchos Nida, how much do we look to the past to point, to indicate, to predict what the future is going to be? Says Rav Kivega, you know what we call that machlokes? That's called Vestus Deraita, Vestus Derabon. The whole sugya, it appears in the second part of the Nida, at the end of the second Nida, whole very, very complicated sugya about, which basically boils down to as follows. It's actually related to a possibility of yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. A woman has a certain history. She knows, she sees Dam every 28 days. Well, she sees Dam every Gibel L'Chodesh, somehow her prayer is in sync with the moon. She constantly, she has a very, very set pattern. That's the way she sees Dam. She has a Vestus. We're going to jump the gun a little bit. We'll hopefully come back to this much, much later on. Called Vestus, Vestus Kavua, Vestus Kavua. But she has what we call the Lach of Vestus. So she has a set period, a set cycle, and she's pretty much sure it's going to repeat itself this coming month. So that idea that she's pretty sure it's going to repeat itself this month, because that's what's happening for the last couple of months, is that an issue with the Torah? Does the Torah recognize that? Does the Torah recognize that chazaka, so to speak, that role for that practice? Does the Torah recognize the fact that since she's muchsaf to see X amount of days, she is most probably going to see again, and therefore that creates enough kamidas deraisa, it may create isurei tashmish mideraisa, may create chiyuvim of bedika mideraisa. There may be a whole series of different halachas that emanate from that basic premise that, yes, on a Torah level, we have to be concerned with what happened in the past. Or do we take the approach, Vestas at the Rabbanon, past performance is no indication of future results. It's not true. As the Chazon Ish says, every month to itself. Says the Chazon Ish, there are so many factors that go into a woman's cycle. Last month she didn't travel, so she did travel. Last month wasn't Pesach, this month is Pesach. She's sleeping late, she's eating more, she's eating less. There's so many different variables in the woman's cycle that the Torah doesn't accept past performance as any indication of anything real. And therefore, it could be that the whole institution of Vestas are only an institution of Midrash. All the data that we find in the Gemara, Kabbalah, last month was this and this, and now we have to be concerned with X, Y, and Z. That whole concept may only be a concept of Midrash. So there's a big machlokes in the Gemara of Vestas Deraisa, in the sense of that the Torah itself recognizes this is considered to be enough of a concern and a love of the Araisa that you have to reckon with. But do I say, no, that's an only Midrabanan. And there may be splits between the two. I don't want to give it too much away from the Sugis of Vestas, but there may be certain splits. There may be Vestas, the Araisa, there got to be some halachas, Vestas, the Rabbanan, there got to be other halachas. It starts to get very, very Sheshmaitzim, and Chazokas, and Rovs, and Arayas, and the Muksoks. A lot of Leibniz stuff, hopefully down the line, much, 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 much more down the line. But there is such a fundamental question about Vestas Deraisa. It comes from Kregor and says, in the heart and soul that Machlokes is basically this question, in terms of Hilchos Nida, can you look to the past as a proof? That's basically what the issue is. So it says from Kregor that Zichron Yosef may be right if you adopt the view that Vestas Deraisa. The same way that Vestas Deraisa means you have to be concerned about certain things, Vestas Deraisa may help you here, because since her last period was 7 days, and the one before that was 6 days, and the one before that was 7 days, and the one before that was 4 days, and the one before that was 7 days, she's never ever gone past seven. That's a proof that this woman doesn't go past seven. So it's almost taking the principle of Vestas Deraisa and flipping it on its head and saying we're going to use it in the kula. We're going to say that the proof that she's probably stopped bleeding is the fact that she's never gone past 7 days. So says Rabbi Kivega, that makes a lot of sense if you really believe Vestas and Deraisa. If you hold the Vestas Derabonim, the game's over. Because the Vestas will only be Derabonim, what that basically means is that we don't really accept that principle. The Chumra, we accept that principle, but not the Kula, and therefore to turn around and be makel and say, no problem, woman can do a Hefsek Tara by just looking at the days on the calendar. That's not good. That's not a riot. That's a sofek. That's not a riot. If Vestas would have been Deraisa, we would have really been convinced that past performance is a real proof for future performance and vis-a-vis Hilchos Nida, if we would have really been convinced of that Svara, then maybe the Zichron Yosef would be negotiable. But we who basket Vestas Derabbanan says, okay, the game's over. But we can't look to the past. There's only one way of doing a Hefsek Tara, and that's inserting a big loaf in. You can't do it. Wait until the wound clears. It can't help you. We can't just give you a story. You're going to count days in the calendar and consider that to be Hefsek Tara. So there was a big, big machlokes at Poskim. In the later Poskim, should we follow the Zichron Yosef's kula? Should we be cautious? Should we Kivega's reputation as Zichron Yosef? So So there were other Acharonim who threw another curveball to this. It came with another possible way of a woman doing Hefsek Tara under these very, very extenuating circumstances. So the Yud already talks about this. Maybe we can look, the idea of the Zichron Yerushim, it came with a little bit of a curveball. We can look for other ways of proving that the Nav stopped. All these clues are all working with the assumption that a B'dikulos is not written in stone. Not like there's a halacha Moshe Messina, it's got to be a B'dikulos. That's the way to do a Siktara. Siktara, it's a hochacha, it's got to be a raya. So the most common way of doing it is with a B'dikulos. If that fails, let's look for other ways. So some Acharonim have the following suggestion that we know, we spoke about this way, way back, about how significant Hargosha is. That if a woman doesn't have Dab Hargosha, it's basically nothing. So what if you could have as follows? I mean, nothing but the right. What if you could have as follows? What if the woman could prove to us that she's not bleeding? Why? Because she's not experiencing Hargosha. What does that mean? So she has to sit there 5 minutes before Shkia on the day she plans on doing Hefsek Tara. Not to insert the B'dikulos thing, because she's going to bleed if she does that. So she sits there 5 minutes, it's better than this. She closes her eyes and she meditates. And she thinks, Am I feeling anything? I don't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I would just mafresh, just mafsik the Tara. I accomplished that Tara. My Hargosha can turn around and serve as a Hefsek Tara. So, although there were Gedolei Acharonim who spoke this language, who talked about this possibility, some wanted to be mitzayfer together with the Zichron Yerushim, the Tzvei Tzveka, I find very hard for this man to have to rely on. Based on Ashur back in Hargosha, we have no idea. She has the same lack of Hargosha that she has in a regular month, which is giving a purpose. So we can't pinpoint exactly, but we thought maybe Hargosha was managed as a little bit different. Maybe it's Derech Riyasa B'Kacha Rashba. Very, very hard to make a case for this. So we're probably falling back on the Zichron Yosef, whether we can rely on this Zichron Yosef or not. Today, we probably have a little bit of a better answer. What we could do is, we could actually have a Hefsek Tara for a woman who's having trouble. We could have a Hefsek Tara, but not with the B'dikah cloth. Putting a B'dikah cloth there is going to spell trouble. If she has an irritation there, you put a B'dikah cloth, she's going to irritate her more. What you can do is as follows. The woman could go to a bodeket. She can go to a midwife, a nurse, or somebody who's trained in this area, and let the bodeket look inside. She'll look, examine her. She'll look around, and she'll see. I'm telling you, there's no damnitis. I see the cup, there's no dumb needles, right? She can tell you. She tells you the universe is closed, the surface is closed. Whatever the shayna she'll use tonight, closed, there's nothing coming. I'm telling you, I see that there's zero dumb needles there. So it could be that can double as a, that's a medica. That's not as if when you're just calculating calendars, and that's not a charonim sitting around and thinking that you're not having gangoshes. That's her ear. In the career, I don't believe we're going to be in a good way. That's a good way. That's what one of them has as a lashon when they were discussing the sugyas of damaka. One of them has a lashon that says that so much of damaka is guesswork because the chi ne'er asham, are the eyes there? So the post can say, yes, there's a lot of that. You take a look and you see ne'er asham. That's what some suggest. There have been times where this shayla repeats itself. We haven't spoken yet about the Zikas Rosh Hashanah, but the exact same shayla is about to repeat itself tomorrow and next week. Namely, she has to have day 1 and day 7 in terms of the B'dikas. So how is she going to do that? If she's going to stick to the B'dikas, then she's going to start to bleed again. So the folks can say, no problem, send the back to the B'dikas on day 1. And then send the back to the B'dikas. I've sent women, I don't know, they charge 3 for 1, but sometimes you have to send a woman to the B'dikas 3 times. You have to send her for Hefsek Tara, you have to send her from B'dikas day 1, you have to send her back on B'dikas day 7. If she passes all 3 of those B'dikas, so then that is the equivalent according to many folks who are doing B'dikas. So yeah, this is obviously not the very, very big hassle in terms of doing things, but this is probably the best answer. Of all the answers, this is probably the one that most probably works for us. This is that. Again, sometimes the Shas HaChak, we will substitute Hefsek Tara as a B'dikas with these kinds of medical, quasi-medical checks. So everything we've been saying until now is working with the assumption that Hefsek Tara is absolutely critical, and there's a goal of Hefsek Tara. The goal of the Tara is to prove that the Dam has stopped. Now there's a major question that's raised. What do you have almost an afichu, the exact opposite? Namely, I've gone through the motions, the digger cloth was inserted, it was moved around, it was done properly, the day before Shkia, take it out. I've gone through the physical motions, And I have absolutely no idea whether that proves anything. Whether that doing a quote unquote Esetara is really indicative that the Tam has not. Why do we have to be firm with Chazal? But here's the problem. Comes the Chazidish and says, how does the following scenario play out? So here's the before Shkia, and the woman's ready to do Esetara. So she puts the big cloth in, and she takes it out, and there's red all over it. Okay. She says, you know what? I'll wait 2 minutes later, I'll do it again. She does it again, there's still red all over, a little bit less than before. So the third time, a little bit like, if you keep on doing it enough times, you will eventually get to the point where it's clear, unless you're mamish, gosh, mamish in the middle of the flow, but it's also at the tail end of a period, she'll get a point where it's clean, and then about 3.5 minutes later, it'll start up again. So says the Chazanish, what kind of joke is that? He said, a bedika that followed on the heels of 15 bedikas before, but you just happen to have been yaitzei, you know, you were yaitzei, you got a bedikah in a minute before shtia, but it's the 10th bedikah that you tried, and every single one before had blood on it. What kind of right is that? A minute later, she's going to start to bleed again. So that's not considered to be a hefsek tara. So the Chazanish is like the opposite of the Zechir Yosef Svar. So then Yosef is trying to find a way that, how can we get away from the technicalities of doing a bedikah with a cloth and kind of substitute it for a proof that the dama stopped? The Chazanish is saying, you did the technicalities, but you didn't do a proof. You didn't prove anything. You didn't prove the dama stopped. But then the Chazanish writes that there has to be some kind of a break. If you start to do bedikas and it's not working, you have some kind of an interval, some kind of a window, some kind of a break in order to let the body restart again to prove that there's really no dam coming. That's just wipe it with the blood and then just sort of split that, like the muscle of the, if you cut your finger, if you wipe away all the blood and then for one split second you touch it, it could be, it'll be clean, and then that lifts and start to bleed again. So says the Chazanish, you have to have some kind of a break to let the body recalculate to start potentially to bleed or not. You have to have a clean bedikas after that little bit of a break. The problem is the Chazanish doesn't tell you what the number break is. He doesn't put a number in minutes as to how long that break should be. So years ago, I used to think that maybe a good magic number was 15 minutes. Then again, when I dig up 15 minutes from, I dug it up from the Chuba Ramesha. We'll talk about this hopefully later on about the Vedigas or Shimon HaKiyim. Ramesha talks about a similar kind of a question during Shimon HaKiyim. The woman's counting Shimon HaKiyim, and she has to do a Vedigas. So what does she do? Before she does the bedika, she sits in the bathtub for an hour. So everything is clean, everything is clean, everything. She comes out, and 1 second, oh, I got to clean bedika. Ramesh says, that's a little bit funny. Ramesh says that you have to give the body like a little bit of a chance to start again. So Ramesh writes, 15 minutes. I thought, Ramesh, 15 minutes. So I thought, that's like zero shabbat, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. So maybe that's what the Chazir said. So I used to tell women that. I used to tell them that, give yourself about 15 minutes to do bedika. I remember years later, I talked to Rabbi Willig, and I mentioned him in passing. I said, the number 15 minutes. So he said to me, 15 minutes? It was like a yelled at 15 minutes. I made a face of Rebbe 3, 15 minutes. So I said, so how long? A few minutes. So I shaved away the 15th. I remember Dyke is a few tighter mashba, 2 minutes. And a short amount of time. I don't have a clear-cut mystery as to how long it should be. It should be a little bit. It doesn't have to be so long. Sometimes the way to circumvent this concern, the Chazanish, is the ha'ara that the Bnei Shulchan raises. The Bnei Shulchan writes that he finds it very, very strange that the Chazanish is making this whole pitch for, you can't have repeated bedikas, that it doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. In Shulchan Aruch, this quote from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, before Shkia, you take a bedikah, put it inside, and it's clean, it's clean, it's clean. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, oh, by the way, don't do 6 bedikahs one after another. He says, somebody before the Chazanish should have been ma'ayra, but this is not going to work. So the Bnei Shulchan suggests that the reason why nobody really thought about this topic was because, very simple, we have a practice, again, we're jumping ahead a little bit, so the notion with it's called the Moch, it's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah really, the Mishnah of Gemara, the very end of a Sechus Nida, where the Mishnah speaks about when a woman is doing this Hefsek Tahara, so there are two ways of doing Hefsek Tahara. If you do Hefsek Tahara, the Mishnah describes by doing a Bedika before the new day begins, before Shkia, or you could do what's called the Bedika Koben Ashmashas. You could literally check yourself for the entire time period of Banish Bash Tabar, from the beginning of Shkil to the end of the page. You can do both. How do you do that? Just keep on checking yourself every second. Now, the Mishnah, the Gemara described, you take a piece of cloth, you take a bedika, molch it's called, literally with like a rag, and you leave Belta Mokko, and you leave Belta Mokko for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, well, you're here now, you're 72 minutes, the only thing Banish Bash is, you leave the molch in there for X amount of time, that's the bedika's called Banish Bash. Now, why in the world would somebody require that? We have a lot of work to do to figure out why we do or don't do that. Suffice it to say that the minhag Yisrael is we do moch, the halacha is you don't really have to do it. It's more of a chumrah b'zman hazeh. Again, we'll get to the details why that's so. But many, many women, most women, unless there's some kind of a technicality, some kind of a complication, many, many women try to do this minhag Yisrael of leaving a moch in there. So says the Bnei Shulchan, even if the Chazanish is right, that a bedika which is following the heels of six bedikas beforehand is invalid because it's just a farce. The joke doesn't prove anything. But if you then put a moch in and leave it for a half hour and it's clean, so what's lacking in the Esek Tara is the moch is being mashed with the Esek Tara didn't accomplish. So the Bnei Shulchan says that what the Chazanish said maybe would be true. That's a woman does five bedikas right before Shtia. The fifth one finally is clean and then she doesn't do a moch. Why didn't you do the most? A lot of women don't do the most for a lot of reasons, in halacha, in minhag, in medical, whatever the reasons are, the woman's not doing the most. So if the woman's not doing the most, then we can negotiate the chazanish. He says, then maybe the chazanish is right. But if she's doing the most, that gufa is the raya brura that the hefsek tara has been bound and the dam has stopped. So now in the world of since the 1940s, days of the Chazanish, they have different opinions and different poskim. There are some who accepted this Chazanish, others question this Chazanish, other poskim say, with all due respect to the Shulchan Aruch, nobody said this, the Shulchan Aruch, none of this appeared. Women have been doing it for 3,000 years, maybe, depending on what they think that they're actually doing. But women have been doing it at least for 2,000 years, they've been doing it for 6,000 years, and nobody made this aura before the Chazanish that you can't do multiple bedikas one after another. So some say the whole thing is not true, that some want to say the Chazanish didn't really mean it, the Chazanish was talking about a very specific case, there was a case the Chazanish was discussing, the woman had a problem. It's not clear what the Chazanish said, it's not clear what we thought the Chazanish said, there's a lot of ambiguity in terms of this. So what we usually try to do is we tell women to try to avoid this problem by giving yourself a little bit of time. It means, as we know, you have to do Hesedah before Shkia. We spoke about this last week, that even though there were some rabbanim in some communities that are a little bit more makeable about Hesedah after Shkia, but usually in our world, we're pretty machmir about this. So Hesedah should be done before Shkia. It's probably a very, very bad idea to start with Hesedah 3 minutes before Shkia, for multiple reasons. Number one, you may miss Shkia in the process. You can get a phone call, and then you're going to call the rabbi that there's a machlokes between the time on your phone and the time on your watch and the time on the radio and the time on the nuclear atomic clocks. So you can't figure out exactly what time Shkia was. So it's machlokes in the Naval Observatory and my banim, and then, depending on what altitude you are, depending on which side of the shul you're on, a lot of As I said, I think I quoted your uncle in this one several times, that he had timers on the people down the seeking. It says, Nate is 6:29 and 07 in the 10th of the second. So that's what the guy sitting in the front row of the show, the guy in the back of the show. You got to be a real Yankee for that. So it's a bad idea for a person to start doing a Sikhtar a minute or two before Shkia, but it's bad for this reason also. Because what if you try to do a Sikhtar a minute before Shkia and it's taka no good, and a little bit of residue, again, if it's full of blood, it's not going to work anyway. So mash a little bit of red on it, so you want to have another chance, but now you're pushing the envelope a little bit, another chance the next 30 seconds. So it's a good idea to give yourself enough of a buffer, enough of a window to try to do a Hesek Tara that you'll have enough chance to recover. In case this one's no good, you can wait a little while, a couple of minutes, and you do another one. So on the other hand, you don't want to do Hesek Tara too early. We'll have to talk about this a little bit later on, about the correct not of Hesek Tara, that you're not supposed to do Hesek Tara too early in the day, at least the Chathchila. So you want to get it later in the day, but on the other hand, you don't want to get it too late in the day. So I used to tell women a half hour before Shkia, that's a good time. That's always a good time to try to aim to do a Hesek Tara. Assuming that she's not in the middle of a business meeting, she's not stuck on the bridge, she's not on the subway. Women today are a lot busier at the time, especially in the winter times. She gets 4:30, so it's the middle of the work day. So it's not always so easy. But if all else is equal, you're able to do it, that's by like around the best time, the best window to do Esrog Torah for a few reasons. Number one, it gives you a buffer in case you're running a few minutes late. It also gives you a couple of minutes of recovery. So it gives you, you know, again, I'm not saying you need 15 minutes to recover, a couple of minutes of the opportunity to do one more, another one, maybe third one, you know, until you reach your point. If, usually I'll tell a woman she's having so much trouble, she's not happy, the body's not ready yet, so you wait another day. But if she, sometimes it's just a mamish, she rhymes the very end, the very end of the period, so then maybe an extra buffer of an extra 15, 20 minutes may do a little bit, may do the trick. So again, talk a minute of erosion, give a little bit of extra time in order not to get involved in this whole complications of the chazanish in terms of pushing it. If she's able to do it a moch, by some of my name, that will minimize some of the concerns of the chazanish. There is a minig that there are milk quotes that before a woman does a zintara, she should wash herself in that area. Not the sechta layavar, she's stuck in the desert, she can't do it, but the chedchil is supposed to wash that area. Actually, the minig was trying to make life easier for her, because otherwise there may be some extra blood that's been around for hours, for days, and it's going to just mess her up in terms of bedikas, so she should try to clean in that area. So the question was posed, according to the chazanish, how can you wash in that area and then do a sechta right away? It's the same problem.
That's what Moses said.
It's the same problem. So how can you do that? So some wanted to argue that the Ramah didn't mean mamash to clean all the way internally, or some wanted to argue the Ramah meant to wash, then to wait a little bit, it's not clear. The Ramah doesn't say anything. The Ramah just writes that the woman's rochetes, and then she goes ahead and all the folks can start, all talk about this, about how do you do the washing on Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, and Kippur, and Tisha B'Av, every place in Orach Chaim where there's a problem about washing. So all of a sudden everyone starts to pimple about how the woman's going to wash, how she's going to do this minig of washing herself. So if nobody really was ma'ira that when you wash, and then you have, you open yourself up for the same concern as the chazanish. So you have to figure out some way why this wasn't a violation of the chazanish was claiming. The other said that, see, the chazanish is not right, the whole thing, chazanish never really meant it, and he meant something different, and that's what Bad Yosef claims, the chazanish never even said what he meant, people claim, he said, but whatever the case may be. So one has to figure out, give a little bit of washing, a little bit of waiting, a little bit of checking, and hopefully if you start this whole process, 3 minutes before Shkia, yes, give it to him. Give yourself a little bit of a buffer, then you're in a better position. So everything that we've been talking about is revolving about a process called the Bedika. The Gemara and the Mishnayot, the Gemara speaks about Bedikas in many, many places spread out throughout the Masechet Nidah. And this is the first time that we're really bumping into this procedure called the Bedika that's necessary to create a normal, regular Sikdara. But the truth is that the concept of a woman checking herself, taking a cloth and checking herself in that area, appears in many, many sugyas in Masechet Nidah, not just in terms of the Sikdara. It's going to play a major role in terms of Bedikas Rav Shiva Nekiyam. We just read yesterday's parsha, the Safa Lo Shiva's Yom HaChatzitar. So the Mishnah says in the end of Masechet Nidah, that an Isha has to be bedeket during the week of the Shiva Nekiyam. She has to check herself. It's not enough just to sit back passively and say she's not bleeding. She has to actively do something to prove that she's not bleeding. She has to bedikas. So that's what the Mishnah has, the whole discussion, how many bedikas she needs. But every day, 1 day, 2 days, that becomes a whole mitzvah, the whole sugi will get to after Pesach. So the Mishnah speaks about bedikas during Shiva Nekiyam. The Mishnah speaks about the bedikas of a Hesed Tara. The Mishnayis in the beginning of Maseches need to speak about other bedikas as well, about different bedikas that a woman makes, the amount of taros. The Mishnah talks about if a woman is obsessed with taros, if a woman is involved in food that's tahar, so she wants to be absolutely certain that she's always tahora. Otherwise, we're going to be in a big, big problem because she's going to be dealing a whole day. She's going to spend a whole day dealing with chuma and nice and shaggy and cut and all kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, she'll realize she's bleeding. She has no idea when she started to bleed. That's the first mission of the Masechet Nidah. What do you do? A woman, she's dealing with the Karbanos, so she's helping out, cleaning up the Karbanos, and then she's getting all of a sudden a person Nidah. So when did the spirit start? We have no idea. That's when the first mission Nidah starts with Shammai Omer, Kol Anashim Cheska, Dayan Shaitan. That the Shammai was of the opinion that she can assume everything was mutter until proven Asur. She has what's called the Cheskes Tahara, so she can assume that the period only started from when she finds it. And Hillel says, not so fast. Hillel says, you got to go back to the last bedika, the last time that you checked this out. And then the Chavim say, first eight blood, the second Nida, this Mamashay Shvaites, the Chazokas, and Rose, the Chazokas, the Hashas, the Kauras, and Sveikas, and Fake Snakes, and Tumas, and Issa. There's a lot of the first eight blood of Nida have very little to do with the second Nida. Have a lot to do with Sugyas in terms of Sveikas and Shvaites and Yonim. But the bottom line is, Chazal did not want any of this to happen. This is a It's nice for lomdus, but it's not so good for mice when you're trying to figure out what to do with your current Pesach. So therefore, Chazal instituted that a woman has to do multiple bedikas. She should be bodekas kol yom in the morning, and bodekas kol erev. She should check herself twice a day, every day. She should constantly be putting a bedika cloth to make sure that she is, in fact, the Hora. So the Gemara says that those extra bedikas that we find in the beginning of the Sefer Nida, that was la'os kitaros. Those were not said labayim. Those bedikas are not necessary. Just a regular woman is married, so there's no requirement for her to do these kinds of bedikas every day. It's not relevant. Whether or not that means that there are no other bedikas that have to be done, labayla, before a woman has a relation with her husband, is there any requirement of bedikas whatsoever? We usually assume that no. We usually assume that all those additional bedikas that were instituted in the Ban Chazal, so those bedikas were all in the realm of taharos, and even though they threw in a few extra ones, labayla, they were all part of the taharos mindset. Once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and no taharos anymore, nobody cares the taharos anymore, so then that whole area of Hilchos Bedikas ceases to exist. And here you want to we'll bring it back again, those chumers, but the model of doing bedikas just during the course of the day, in the morning, afternoon, and before Tashmish, all that kind of stuff, we assume none of that really applies to Zvanazet. So we have, again, certain bedikas that appear in Chazal that are relevant for us today. Those are the bedikas of Esat Tarim, the bedikas of Shiva Nikiyim. Then you have other bedikas, the bedikas of Esat, the Gemara talks about, we mentioned before, that Higiyashat of Esat, so when a woman has she knows she has a cycle, she's expecting a period the next day, so then there's a requirement to doing a bedika. Again, so we'll talk a lot about that, when that is, what that is, what that means for us to Zvanazet. So some of those bedikas do exist for us today. Some of the bedikas as described by Chazal no longer exist. So these five or so different scenarios of doing bedikas for Tyrus and Shemitikian and Tyrus and Vestas, all this kind of stuff. What are the words? What does it mean exactly? So it has something to do with a cloth, something to do with Osem Makom, something to do with looking. What does it mean exactly? How much? What is the degree of what these bedikas are all about? So here, much of the discussion, the Rishonim, revolves around a Gemara that appears in the beginning of the Sefer Nida. So much of the Sefer Nida is not, quote-unquote, lemaise in the sense of, so much of the Sefer Nida deals with the din of Tumah V'Tahara. But many, many of the halachas of the Issa L'Baila are derived, extrapolated from some of the nuances and the sugyas of Tumah V'Tahara. So it's a hard mesechta to learn, because it's a Tahara for a reason. You're really, really learning a lot of intricacies of it's both of the Pashmat Torah. You're learning the second half of Pashmat Torah. You're learning a lot of Hilchus Nida and Zavah and sugyas that are Tumah V'Tahara. But in between the lines, you got to figure out which part is relevant for us as Ban Hazeh. So this is a good example of that. It's a sugya, the beginning of Masechus Nida, where the Gemara is discussing about different bedikas that were instituted bishas taharas. So we mentioned that the Mishnah speaks about that the woman has to do a bedika in the morning, she has to do a bedika in the evening. That way you know there's never more than 12 hours of taharas unaccounted for. So if she goes days without being bodekas, then we don't know what happened the last 5 days. So you always have this window of every 12 hours or so she's doing some kind of bedika. Then the Gemara says that they threw in another bedika also, and they said that when she has tashmish with her husband, so she should always do a bedika at that point, right before she has tashmish also. So the Gemara says, why should we do that? What does that do with Tara? She just did a bedika 2 hours ago. Gemara says, you're right. But anyway, we have so many chumras in Hilchos Tara, she's doing so many bedikas anyway, so they threw in this chumra for good luck also. Even though it doesn't really correspond to anything, harayev is banned, so we don't do it. There's no Tara, so we don't require women to do bedika every time she's with her husband. So the Isha, so the Tara, Shana, they added on this third bedika as well. So the Gemara has a discussion about this. This bedika that was kind of thrown as like an over an afterthought, that a woman who's on Sefer Tahara has to do bedika before she has tashmish. So the Gemara said, we're never really sure how well this bedika is going to be done. Why? What are we nervous about? Because she's mehumah lebeisa, the Gemara says. She wants to be with her husband, so she's rushing a little bit. It's the middle of the night, she's trying to do a bedika very, very quickly. The Gemara says that the standard that she does for that, this new bedika, the Chazal, required of her, is probably not up to par, the Gemara says. It's a woman, she's in the middle of the night, she's in a rush, she wants to be with her husband. So isha mehumah lebeisa, the eina machmeses, the charnus dokin. She doesn't do the bedika absolutely correct. And the description of a bedika that's done incorrectly, the Gemara says, bedika she'ena shachar nistokin. It's a bedika that's not done in the nooks and crannies, in the crevices, the whole area of Osa Machom. That's almost like an insufficient bedika. That's the description that Chazal used of what a bedika should not be implying that what a bikur should be what's called a bikur chametz stocking. And it's very interesting and totally, I think, totally coincidental, but bikur chametz has exactly a phrase, bikur chametz stocking, obviously a little bit of a different meaning. That's the way the Chazal described the bikur chametz. So here, Chazal are describing an incorrect or insufficient bikur, a lack of chametz stocking. So it comes to the Rishon and says, aha! That, you see, from here, what is a bediga? Bediga means the bediga is harvest stocking. And what does that mean practically? That's to see. So there's a big problem with this Gemara, because if the Gemara is saying that the women aren't really doing it right, so then they're not fulfilling the din, so then why do we have this din in the first place? So the whole thing, the whole Gemara is very ambiguous. The Gemara is saying, we have this takana, Chazal made this takana, we didn't really understand why, Chazal made this takana that the Shas tyrants, they have to do an extra bidika, and we're telling you on the side, guess what, no one's going to do it right anyway. If you're not doing it right, so then you're not fulfilling this takana. So we have a couple of question marks in this Gemara. We're going to have to wait for 2 weeks to figure out the answer to some of these questions. Hopefully at the Shem next year, which is the Yantif, so we'll pick up on this idea. If it's based on this Gemara, what is a bidika? A very, very relevant shot for us. Just how thorough, just how complete and how exact this bidika has to be in order to qualify as an acceptable bidika for all the different bidikas that do apply for us as Banazet. Hopefully, next time we'll look at this.